Okay, any additional comments? Okay. Thank you, Steve. We'll move on to item number seven, new business, 7A, approval of amendment number four to the agreement with NextGen, the amount of $49,139. George, take it away, please.
NextGen has historically provided construction management for the construction of the ALT water treatment plant. This is the fourth amendment that we brought before the board. This particular amendment would be for a total amount of $49,139. I do want to bring to everybody's attention, I've got a map there on page 2 of 2. If you look at the construction management, the third line down under the services, the $29,920, if you do the math, it doesn't add up. I want to assure the board, though, and the public that the amendment we're asking for is as we've identified on the cover page, which is $49,139. That same value is reflected in the resolution that we're requesting board action on in the back. So. I do apologize. I was working with a lot of numbers on this thing and I overlooked this, so I wanted everybody to be aware of that. Another thing I want to share with the board, this actually has an amount of $23,159 that we've exceeded on the current contract that we have NextGen, so I'm asking that be included in this, and that's identified in the table again on page 2. And then the second item over there on that table is VPM. That's a project management software that we use on the project. That's $750 a month. This amendment would take us through October, so it would be the months of September or October.
Okay. Thank you. Questions from the board? I guess my question is, hope this can be the last one.
Well, Steve and I had a lengthy discussion on that, and I want to make sure it's the last one. What I'm trying to do at the tail end of the project is pick up on some of the work activities that construction management did so we can finalize this and get all the paperwork done. We know that we're going to have another change order or two that we have to get all, we've got tentative work agreements on, we've got to get those all together and bring them forward, so there's a lot of work to do still.
Okay, additional questions?
How much more of the landscape do we have to do, and is that through NextGen as well, or?
How much more what?
With the landscaping?
Yes.
Is that through NextGen as well?
Well, I'm actually overseeing the landscaping that's occurring out there right now, and it's based on a plan that we have. That should be finished up within the next couple of weeks. Hope to have all that done before we do our ribbon cutting. That together with all the painting on the final tanks and that type of thing.
Same line.
I'm sorry.
Can I just ask you to follow up on that?
Yeah, we're probably
asking. Yeah, because I was just going to say that I assume it's trying to get it for the ribbon cutting. That's why I noticed they were out there like Saturday morning doing landscaping, and it just
yeah.
That was a little bit odd.
That happened to be a choice of the contractor. That wasn't something that we directed or encouraged them to do. They want to get it done as well as we do.
Okay.
So that's something that the contractor arranged on their own.
Okay.
We also had the painters over the weekend. They're from Southern California. That final tank, after we finish painting it, we have to pre-soak it and then do some VOC testing. So it's all time sensitive to get everything done. So they're starting to, well, at the tail end, really pay attention, get this thing done,
right,
which everybody wants.
Right.
So, no problem. Sorry, Dad. Thought we had the same question. But George, the work that you're talking about, the landscaping, that doesn't have anything to do with NextGen and the work here that we're talking about?
Well, elements of it could. I mean, the landscape in itself is inspected. There are progress payments associated with that that both NextGen and myself work together on to process.
Mm-hmm.
But the primary reason I want to retain NextGen is we're at the tail end of this thing. I think that we've had discussions and council has even shared information with us. It's really important, I believe, to the district to have continuity with the inspection service company that did a majority of the work up until now.
Right.
It's just that we're at the tail end where we want to do everything we can to stay within our budget. That money can, I mean, we're doing all we can to get this thing within budget. And that's what part of this is about. And I would like to share too with everybody, this thing's about 10 months beyond what we ever realized we would have. It's supposed to be finished the end of last year. So all of these costs continue on, whether they're my costs or construction management or every, or that of NextGen. So that's what this is really reflecting.
Okay. And I think that's my next question, George, and you just answered it, so thank you for doing that, because I'm just wondering, why do we need them for 9 weeks longer if we're at 1%? But mm-hmm. it sounds like...
There's a lot of paperwork at the tail end and activities going on. I'm asking for the board and the public to give me this kind of support to get to the end of this thing.
Okay. And just a couple questions on the letter that we received, or that you received from Mr. Rich.
Right.
He makes a comment down here that he's going from one full-time job and on-site to a part-time oversight. And he makes comments about being overwhelmed by the pieces of information and the requests for information submittals, change order requests, and daily interactions with the contractor and the design clarifications, and how to minimize impacts for plant operations. And I'm just wondering, if he was overwhelmed at that time and he's going down to part-time, is he going to be able to actually fulfill the obligations of the contract? Because he further goes on to make a comment here that some of these issues may be tabled for a later date or possibly not done at all. So I'm just a little concerned if with what you're asking for, is it going to get the satisfaction that you're after to make sure that the remaining work that you want done is done? Because it sounds like from him, he's concerned about getting it done.
I think we're all concerned. Well, I don't think, I know we're all concerned about getting it done, but it's going to be a group effort. The content of that letter was the result of many discussions I had back and forth with Dan, who's the owner or part owner of the company. So we're doing our best to include everything. I just don't feel comfortable going with numbers bigger than that for this amendment. All this.
I was going to jump in. I think based on George and I's experience, the level of effort required right now is not full-time, despite the pleadings of Dan Rich in this letter. I think he's just expressing his concern and some of Joe's concern about how much time they've had to spend in the past and trying to explain why they've needed him full-time. But based on George and I's discussion and our experiences with projects, we think this is appropriate level of effort for this point. They need to be spooling back. They need to be pulling him off the project now. So...
No,
and I think he's on, and my conversation with Dan is he's on board with that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a concern that they're not going to be able to meet the contractual obligation. You know, can't speak to why he wrote that letter that way.
Yeah, because that was one of my questions is, shouldn't these requests and these demands be decreasing if we're getting
to
over 1%?
That's right.
So, okay. Interesting.
Okay, public comment?
Just real quick, what are the three figures that don't add up? Because I don't know if you said that.
Yeah.
Which one doesn't? Because it looks like $4,500 different.
It's on the second page.
Right.
This number right here is incorrect. So if you take the sum of all of those, it doesn't equate to that. It would
so
be $5,400.
It should be
$2,400. Yeah. So you got it right.
Oh, okay.
So. But what I attempted to share with everybody, this number is incorrect. It should be that.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
And then that number is reflected on the resolution.
Yeah, okay, got it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. See no additional public comment. Bring it back to the board for action or not.
I agree with... the general manager and with George Sanders, it doesn't seem like we should be making changes right now to get the wrap-up work done by a different firm. That's only going to slow everything down so that you can bring on another firm and then bring them up to speed. So it's going to take time and money away from something of, let's just get it done.
I agree. I mean, I'm not super excited about having to approve another one, but it kind of is what it is. So that's my feel.
So are we looking for a motion?
Yes, yes.
So move to further the staff's recommendation.
Okay, motion to approve staff's recommendation to authorize the general manager to execute contract amendment 4 with NextGen. Looking for a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. Stephanie, roll call when you're ready, please.
Mr. Rich?
Yes.
Mr.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. Thank you, George.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, George.
Okay. Item 7B, award construction contract with Caggiano. Have I got that right?
Caggiano.
Yeah, right. General Engineering in the amount of $280,000 for the 2018 treated water line replacement project. Steve, do you want a staff report, please?
Yes. This project is going to replace about 1,350 linear feet of 4-inch treated water line in Kit Fox Court and Angel Camp Court. Both these segments have experienced multiple waterline failures and service line failures in recent years. And in doing these repairs, staff found that portions of this existing pipe installation do not meet current standards. And you've seen the example I brought in. I'll go get it again, but that's the pipe I've got in my office with the longitudinal cracks on it. So it's kind of thin wall, and it's been cracking a lot in the last few years. So back in November, the board recognized this. We put it in the 5-year capital improvement plan. It's been in there now for a couple years. Back in November, the board approved the professional services agreement with Bennett Engineering to do the design work. That was complete, and then we came back and got the board to approve the plans and specs, authorized the bid at the July meeting. So then we put that out to bid, released that request for bids. On August 14th, we got 6 bid proposals, which was a lot. I was really excited to get 6 responses. The high bid was $560,000 and some change, and the low bid was, well, it was just under $280,000. So this is what I want to point out a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes. The low bid was actually $279,950, but then when we checked the math, we recognized it was Caggiano, so it was the same firm. We checked the math and realized that they had incorrectly calculated one of the unit price extensions, and so according to the contract specifications, the unit price governs, and therefore the corrected total bid price is $280,005. It's not a material change. It doesn't affect who the low bidder would be. We reach out to the contractor. They agree, yeah, we extended that price wrong, and so we're fine with the new contract price. Staff went through the proposals, verified that Caggiano has include all the required forms. They have valid contractor's license. They have required for the specifications. So we're recommending that the board go ahead and award this to them, to consider them as the lowest responsible and responsive bidder. Once the board takes action to award the contract, staff will send the contract notice of award. Once they get that, then they can go ahead and get their performance and payment bonds issued by their bonding agency, and then they can sign the agreement and send it back to us, and then at which time we'll issue a notice to proceed, and then we'll have a pre-construction meeting and things start to move from there. Director Saunders had some questions about working days and how long it's going to take. The contract does allow for 84 calendar days for them to complete the project. There's some shutoffs in there, like they can only have water shut off to people for 8 hours at a time. I think I covered this maybe last time, but people can only shut off from water 8 hours at a time. So there will be some phasing as they go through this. Fiscal impacts. The adopted CIP budget is $379,500. Even with the healthy amount program for construction management, we believe that the budget will be within budget on this project. So our total projected cost at this point is $376,861 with a budget of $379,500. And that does include some allowances for contingency and whatnot. We all are also asking for the action of the board authorize the general manager with change order authority amount not to exceed 10% of the contract amount. This just eliminates the need for us to come back to the board for minor changes to the project, so it's not uncommon for us to open up the ground and find some little thing that they didn't anticipate, and a 10% contingency amount is pretty standard to allow things to keep moving. Otherwise, we'd be subjecting the board to a district potential additional costs and delay claims and such if I had to tell a contractor, nope. Sorry, you can't do that change to address unforeseen conditions because I don't have authority, you've got to go back to the board, then they're going to start claiming, well, now you're delaying me and you're causing loss of production, and it gets into a big fight. So with 10%, that just gives us enough to keep things going. And of course, if there were substantive changes to contract documents, we'd come back to the board. think that's it. We're just asking the board to award this so we can move forward executing the contract and getting construction started.
Steve, you got a date in here. Construction project is planned to be completed by June 1 of 2019. Is that
no, that's not right.
Is that a typo?
Yeah.
No, I have to. That is not right.
Do you have any idea?
No.
With what you just said, it sounds like there's too many variables to actually come up with a completion date.
And June 1, 2020 is way too late. So
yeah,
that's not right.
That's,
I mean,
that would
said
be
84
is probably somewhere.
Yeah,
84.
So calendar
days.
Calendar days. That's after it's been.
So roughly like 3 months, but
that's
then you're into
October,
the holiday season for
November. December.
Yeah.
It's December.
December. Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify, I see on the project description, now one of the reasons these two streets were chosen was because it says water lines have experienced a higher than expected rate of breakage. So that's one of the reasons they were prioritized.
That's right.
To move this project forward.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. I know. Yeah. I'm Kit Fox. I know the numbers. I don't have the numbers in the other street. Daryl probably may know how many times, but I know Angel Camp has broken at least once since I've been here in 2 years. And Kid Fox has broken twice since that, each year it's broken since I've been here. So, yeah, and that's the only main, not the only, I can't say only, but let's say the recurring places.
The only
reoccurring
places.
The recurring mainline failures we're having right now. Of course, service lateral failures happen all over the place, but the mainline, that seems to be the one that those two streets happen once a year is quite a lot.
Yeah, I had another one last month, Kid Fox.
Yeah.
Is Kit Fox the one that floods the guy's basement, driveway?
Yeah.
Garage? Yeah. It's time to get these done.
Okay. Without even having an asset management program, being here from the Finance Committee to now, knowing the amount of time that these each ones break, these would be priority one on our list of pipes to replace, and we've seen what's in the ground, so we know it has to be replaced as well. And it also, going through this, did come up with timing of RFPs and bids and stuff to avoid the winter weather. So these are things we can look forward when we're working on projects as well to try and mitigate any delays that we do have. So
I just hope when you get down there, Daryl, that you're not going to see anything that you say, you know what, this needs to be 1,500 linear feet. Yeah.
Well, the footage shouldn't change. It's the length of the court, you know. So it should all be the same.
Good.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
No, I'm clear.
Nope.
Fine.
Public comment?
Sure. On the picture, is that the, I guess Angel Camp's long, so is that the first picture? And then the second picture is the kit, because
yes,
it looks like it's going down?
The first picture is definitely Angel Camp.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it doesn't have a caption on it. The first is Angel, you said?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All
right. Okay. Any other comments? Okay, bring it back to the board for action. Entertain a motion on this or alternate action if there is one.
I'll make a motion that we go ahead and accept it as written in the agenda. Glad to see this project get moving.
Okay.
I'll
motion,
second that
motion.
Motion
and a second. Stephanie, roll call when you're ready, please.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. Okay, thank you. Move on to item 7C, approve Water Smart grant application in the amount of $655,500 for the upcountry ditch project. Adam, you presenting?
I put together a quick PowerPoint.
Oh, okay.
Shows some pictures of it.
Okay.
I'm going to bring that back.
Back on.
Just open that.
Oh, I hit the Zoom.
Adam, did you? It's slideshow.
Slideshow.
How do I get it off of there?
Beginning.
Thank you.
So this is the same project that was we brought in March. They had another round of funding come up, so we brought the same. It's the same project here. So
I'm sorry.
It's put on by the U.S. Department of Interior, Bureau of Reclamation. How the grant's structured, there's this announcement, there's two different opportunities. for 2020 and 2021. So for 2020, it was October 3rd. That's the application deadline. And there's two funding groups through there. You know, one is 300,000, one is 1.5 million. It kind of depends on the time frame of the duration of the project. So this is the project we just discussed before. It's the Narrows. It's a section of line ditch, kind of shortly after the diversion, you know, a steep slope. So this kind of showed, you know, Something Meadows and our conveyance piping canal going, coming towards Walton Lake there. It's kind of after structure one, before structure two. This is, well, I took some pictures of it. This is kind of what it looks like. So it's about 450-foot section. You can see to the cone, gives you some perspective of just, it's just a kind of a walking path now. And on either side, you know, it's just blocked off. You can drive either side, so it's not really access in between there. So it kind of shows the slope here. So you click through. I took some more pictures just to really detail what it looks like here. So kind of right there, right, I guess the foreground of the picture, that's one spot that's heavily eroded. And then if you look a little further down, there's two spots, and it's kind of, that's what we detail in the, it's like two little tiny trees there.
Yeah, is that right here, where you can see a divot?
Right, yeah, there, right there. That's the two. There's
two.
Correct. So those are two kind of spots where the slope stability is planned. The rest of it, you know, it's vegetated, so that's not as big a concern as those two spots. So in the grant application, that's where slope stability is, those two sections. And then here, click to the next one. And this kind of shows this. So this is a ditch as a whole. So it kind of, this is a above looking down. So you see it drops off right down the creek down there. And it's just really narrow. Got the eroding bank on the downhill side. So in the reliability study, they just identify this as an area that has potential to fail. So that's why we, you know, I had the grant. It's has increased cost, you know, location, the slope, the piping. So we identify as a good spot to look at. And since we can get, we'll discuss later, you know, cost sharing, you know, it's rather than us, you know, local money for the entire bill. It was a good selection. And this is just the area, is what this stretch of area here. So you kind of see both areas there, and then the pipe. So that whole ditch was replaced with pipe, stabilized the two areas, and then put the access road so that the road connects between the two areas.
Is there an estimate, like how far is it from here to there, from the ground?
It's probably 30 feet, 40 feet. You go.
Really?
You mean just from the top of the bank?
Yeah. Like where the cone to generally down here.
How far would you fall?
Oh, you would fall hundreds and hundreds of feet, but when you only see the picture, maybe 30 feet.
Yeah.
It's like straight down all the way to the Pilot Creek.
Yeah.
So this is a walking path, it's not a driving path.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is now.
I
guess it used to be a driving path.
Now it's a walking path.
Yeah. And this is kind of just a schedule. I mean, this is really hypothetical. You know, it's got to go through the approval process, the grant application. You guys have to, you know, review it here now. So it's kind of what we'd be looking at if we did go through with it, kind of over a 3-year period between design, construction, grant approval, you know, this step. That stuff that goes along with the grant. But more just the breakdown of what we estimated the cost to be, and then, you know, splitting the cost between local funding and this, you know, this is the CIP program and the Bureau of Reclamation.
Adam, can we go back a couple of slides, back to the one where you're showing the downhill picture? I'm going to ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so right here.
Yep.
So, your ultimate plan, in a perfect world, if you got to do what you wanted, would that pipe move back into the hillside? Would you cut this back so that you've got fill in to fill this in and stabilize this, so you move the whole project this way rather than go out this way and try to stabilize something that's hundreds of feet down to the creek?
So I think, based on my discussions with Daryl, and, you know, it'd be obviously the engineer, they would be engineered, but I think what, you know, in the past what it's done is kind of the pipe goes into the old path. And then the access road kind of goes on top of that. There are some spots that are wider up there, where you could have, you know, the pipe on the outside and a row on the other side. But since it's so narrow, I think it'd be a huge task to try to, you know, cut that hill back.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but that would be engineer, when we do the engineer design, would really determine that.
Okay. And do you think this is an area where you're not going to need siphons so that you won't be able to drive across the top of it?
No, you don't. You would need a siphon here, but again, that would be an engineer question. Okay. It wasn't in the reliability, so they didn't talk about a siphon. You know, we didn't talk about the scope of this project.
Short enough.
Let me just...
Okay, thank you. And then if you go ahead, step to the next one. Okay, this one right here. I noticed that in our board packet, we don't have CEQA, and I think this was a concern that we had, the board had, when we talked about doing something like this back in March, is the CEQA and possibly NEPA needs to be done. So does this environmental review take into consideration the CEQA NEPA portion of this project?
Yes, it would have to. I mean, that would be definitely part of this project.
Okay, and you're going after, if you look at the totals then for what you're proposing here, you're going after the total grant amount, which leaves really no room to add any of our other CIP projects in under this grant, correct?
Yes, this would be just this project under this one, yeah.
Yeah, so there's not much room left over, and then that room left over, if you're going to go after the full amount of the grant, you're going to want for contingencies.
So it kind of built into that as well. There's contingencies built into that number.
Into our number?
Into the total number.
Total number,
yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting to see what they propose in their design plan, to see how they're going to stabilize that steep hill, hold all that extra weight of a pipe.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Board comment or board questions, I guess, primarily. I said everything I was going to say. I think a march on this item, and this is critically needed. Try to get some funding for this and match. To me, it makes a lot of sense. We know this infrastructure is in pretty bad shape, needs some repair, and it's a good opportunity for us. So that's where I'm at. But entertain other questions, comments before we open it up to public comment.
Because I've got one.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's see. Maybe we'll do that. Adam, if the application package is due by 3rd of October, and that's coming up quick, are you going to be able to have any CEQA ready for them at all, or is it going to be pending based on time built into your schedule?
Yeah, we won't be able to prepare that beforehand. It would, you know, the cost, too, and without the guarantee of, you know, getting the grant.
Okay, great. And this one doesn't apply. Okay, great. Thank you.
I'm good.
Yep, this was one of the main concerns with reliability. We have a single source, and that was one of the recommendations, was the upper country ditch repair. The other thing is it's also a way to help preserve our acre feet, because it helps reduce some of the evaporation there, and that was one of the main methods that our urban water management plan attempts to go after, reducing our, mitigate our water losses. One way is by improving the upper ditch reliability, so that's the most cost-effective way. Doesn't give us the most acre feet, but it's our first attack at it.
Something's better than nothing.
Yep. The reason last time is, now that we kind of have a little better picture with our CIP plan, we still don't have the meter project funding yet, or know where the funding is coming from, but it has a better picture going forward, so this is able to be fit in, and it's planned in already, so it's a lot better fiscally sound wise.
Public comment on this item.
How much is that we're going to actually receive in the grant?
Did you say 655 is what you're
And it would be as you go. It's not like they just don't write you a check. You go, you know, it's your progress payments, and if you come under...
Over 2 years?
3 years.
3 years. It's a one-to-one match, right? One-to-one match for 3 years. Okay. You're going to go after option two, group two.
Yes.
There's a project budget in page 4 of your...
I know, I'm looking at it, and it doesn't have the 655. So. Oh, maybe it's not the...
Maybe that's the CIP you're looking at.
Okay.
It's either in staff report or in the technical proposal.
Okay. Additional public comment on this? Okay, seeing none, bring it back to the board for a motion on staff recommendation or alternate action.
Dan, can I ask one more question real quick?
Sure.
Just thought of something. So if we're going to pipe this and it comes out of our main source, goes through this pipe, are we going to be required to do the gauging before and after so we can check for pipe leaks? Is that going to be part of the project?
We will not be required to. All we're required to would be to gauge at where we divert water.
Okay, thank you.
So it could be like internal information, you know, if you want to know.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Dan.
That's great.
Thanks, Adam, for all the work you did last time and this time on it and getting it ready for the deadline. So,
yeah.
Appreciate that. I'd like to make a motion to go ahead and approve this grant as it is written.
Okay. Motion to approve staff's recommendation.
I'll second that.
Second. Stephanie, roll call when you're ready, please.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. Okay. Thank you. Item 7D, board, board. Adopt. New board policy required for SDLF transparency certification.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Christina?
All right.
Just provide the updates from last meeting, I think. You just made the changes, it looks like, so.
Yeah. We made the changes that Director Saunders had asked, and then legal counsel made some changes to the verbiage on motions.
Okay. Thank you. Captures what we, what we talked about.
Yeah,
so.
You've been doing a great job today, actually following it.
Yeah, get that. Thanks. Okay. Yep. You're good. I mean, I know you had the changes. The red part.
I mean, the red part was mine. That's fine. The only question I have was about the depends on if a motion comes up that wasn't part of the discussion. Then this way, it doesn't allow us to discuss or debate it after the fact. So it does ask for clarification, but we don't get to discuss it anymore. So that was the only point that I was worried about there.
Does this text, Mike, as it's changed, adequately address your concerns?
No, this as it is, there once the motion goes, then that pretty much is the end of the discussion based on as it's written now.
Yeah, but there's still there's the next one, point four, has a secondary motion. There are a few secondary motion concerning motion to amend, so I think there's a provision
to probably amend
to
before
change a motion.
Forward, so. Okay.
Yeah, you can always make another motion.
Right.
Yeah, so we can amend it. But other than that, yep, everything looks as we discussed. So
yeah, and there's also the discussion with
the audience. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So there is still discussion going on. It's not closed.
Okay. Seeing no board comments right now or questions, I'll open it up to public comment on this item. Anyone? Okay. Seeing none. Bring it back to the board for further discussion.
Once we approve this, I'll probably make little cards we can have, because I mean the regular motions are fine. It's when we do the amended and stuff like that, you might want to refer to it. So I'll make a little transparency cards that we can all have to refer to. So
that'd
be good. Yep.
Cheat sheets are good.
Mm-hmm. We use them all the time.
So then with that, great idea, I agree. Entertain a motion to adopt the resolution or to do something else. Please.
I'll make a motion that we adopt this board agenda item with the changes that have been proposed and made.
I'll second that.
So it's essentially adopt the resolution, right?
As it's written.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
As it's modified.
Going for. Okay, thank you. Stephanie, roll call when you're ready, please.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. Okay, moving right along. Item 7E, approve reimbursement for director attendance at Aqua Region 3 and 4 programs, Knox County Water Resource Association, Symposium, etc. Steve, staff report, please.
Yeah, there's three local events that are coming up, two by Aqua, one by Mountain Counties, of which the district is a member organization. Director Souza expressed interest in attending these events, and so in terms of board policy, we're bringing it to you guys ahead of time to approve that so that he can get reimbursed for his entry costs and his travel costs to go to that. One is September 17th, coming up next week. It's Aqua Region 4. It's a presentation on obstacles related to habitat restoration. And do an example as a tour of the Cache Slough. October 3rd is our own Region 3's event on forests and how to manage them and some of the things that NID is doing and PCDBA is doing to manage the forests. That involves a tour up in Nevada County. And then November 8th is Mountain County's Water Symposium over in Auburn. That's it's a kind of a seminar event where there's different speakers talking about topics related to water issues in our area. The total cost to attend all three events for Director Souza we're estimating to be $334. There's a little explanation in the table there. Attendance of this is likely to cause the travel conference expenses to exceed the budget estimate for this item. However, since the magnitude is pretty low as compared to the rest of the budget, and because oftentimes travel conference expenses we run under budget because staff or directors have conflicts and don't end up attending certain events that we plan for them to attend to. We're not requesting a budget amendment at this time. We'll just monitor this item, and if one is needed, we'll bring it back to you at the proper time. Probably the mid-year budget review would be the first appropriate time to do that. Also, we put it together because Director Souza requested it, but if any other members wanted to attend, now would be the appropriate for you guys to make the decision too and add other directors on to these events. Certainly, especially from my point of view, having our folks at the Mountain Counties and Region 3 events, is good for us as a district to represent any of those things. So that's my staff report.
Only thing I point out, it looks like, I think there's a mistake in the date. Yeah, it's October 3rd.
It's October 4th.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Or else we'd be missing a bunch of people at the
I was looking at that today.
Right. That's embarrassing.
For myself, I won't go to the 17th. I may go to the 4th one. I will probably likely go to the 8th, but I won't submit for reimbursement for those if I go to them. So.
Is there registration fees?
Yeah, they're $45. And I'm looking to go to the October 4th one and November 8th, and I won't submit any travel just before the registration.
Yeah, I'd like to do the same.
Okay.
I won't be able to make the 17th, though, Steve, because we got the GFOA training, but the 4th and the 8th. Why don't you come and join us? You'd be the odd man out. A
little peer pressure.
I hate to be a party pooper.
Okay.
Someone's got to do it.
Okay. Yeah, it all makes sense to me too. If you're going to do a budget amendment on this, let's do it the mid-year review and it's a little more appropriate. We kind of see where all the training stuff shakes out. So, any other comments, questions?
No, I won't be turning anything for reimbursement.
Okay.
It's the watershed. It's one of the big things we have to work on protecting, and it comes with everything in terms of fire and campground and pollution, and it's not only our water, but it's 60% of the rest of California's water, so.
Right, and I think it's still vitally important as a small water district that you get there, Dave, especially from your fire perspective point of view.
Yeah,
your knowledge and your experience back, yeah, that would be invaluable.
Yeah. Okay. Any public comment on this item? Seeing none. Okay. Bring it back to the board for action on the staff's recommendation, the resolution to approve. So I guess it would just be Director Souza, for the expense reimbursement to attend the 3 and 4 programs, and then understanding that there'll probably be at least be 3 other of us at something like 2 of those events, right? But we're not going to submit for reimbursement.
Correct.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion that we accept the staff's recommendation as is.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Motion, second. Stephanie, roll call when you're ready, please.
Director Halpin.
Aye.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye.
Director Souza.
Aye.
Director Wadley.
Aye. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Item 7F. Consider approving a professional service agreement for engineering services for the engineering evaluation of the capital replacement program with Bennett for amount not to exceed $61,996. Steve, you want to start with your staff report?
Yeah, back in February, the board directed the general manager to issue an RFP for professional engineering services to perform an independent evaluation of the capital replacement program that was developed for the Water Financials Analysis dated October 2017, prepared by Rural Community Assistance Corporation. We also kind of colloquially refer to that as the rate study. The minutes and staff report for that meeting are included in the staff report if anybody wants to refer back to them. I did issue an RFP in March for that work, and following our procurement policy and comply with California Government Code Section 4527 regarding professional services agreements. We have one proposal on April 8th from Bennett Engineering Services. Their proposal is included in attachment 4 of the staff report. Since the district purchasing policy requires 3 proposals, I recirculated the RFP and advertised again to try and get more responses. I also put it on district website, on eBid board, which is a national website for distributing this stuff. I posted on the CSDA website. I also personally contacted Bennett Engineering, Coastline Engineering, GHD, Somas, and Wood Rogers, all who I know folks that work at those companies who do similar work, to try and solicit more interest. Bennett Engineering indicated they would honor their original proposal for the second solicitation, so we just kept their proposal basically unopened since that time. The second round of proposals were due on August 20th, and I did not receive any additional proposals, so Bennett Engineering was the sole person that proposed. I reviewed their proposal for criteria listed in the RFP and determined it meets the requirements of that RFP in the district. Then I reviewed their fee proposal and their level of effort, rates, and total amount seem appropriate for the scope of work, so I don't see any concerns with their scope or their fee. This work was not identified in the fiscal year operating budget. It was a conscious decision because we really didn't know where they were going to be at that time, and I believe we had discussions at budget workshops about just not throwing a number at it, we just wait and see what it comes back at. So their proposal is for a total of $61,996, so that would need to be reflected as in a budget amendment, so we have to increase our expenditures out of our revenues to cover that cost. So the budget amendment form is included in this attachment. So if the board wants to continue this work, you need to adopt a tax resolution authorizing the general manager to execute the agreement with Bennett Engineering for that amount and authorize the budget increase for that amount as well. With that, I'm available for questions.
Okay. Dave, do you want to add anything at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Dave Bennett is from, Dave Hardy.
Right. Yeah.
Bennett Engineering is here, sorry.
Yeah.
So he's available to ask questions about the proposal if the board has it.
Okay. Questions from the board?
Are you part of this project? No? Did we really need to get this done?
This is something that the board has directed me to do. So it's not something staff is requesting or is advocating for or against. It's something the board wanted to do to try and address the concerns that were raised at the prior meetings about the need for a forensic audit or some kind of audit related to the capital replacement plan that was in the original rate study by RCDC. So this all precipitated from discussions at the board about whether or not the cost estimates in that capital replacement plan were good. And so this is a way to validate those or invalidate those cost estimates.
So yeah,
it's entirely up to the board.
$60,000 to do a new rate study?
Well, it's not a new race day.
It's not a race day.
It's not a race day.
It's not even close to a race day.
This is only a true up of the
evaluating what went
engineers estimates. Engineers estimates that were included.
I mean, there were a lot of questions in the rate study about how we came to that, the numbers from RCAC, and with input from RCAC as well as from our staff that came up. There's a whole lawsuit associated with that. Some people have recommended we do a forensic audit. So this I was the champion for this, and we bring in a third party independent engineer to check the homework. That's not our staff, it's not a RCAC, it's an independent third party.
Well, RCAC was independent.
But this is independent of RCAC.
Okay.
And of our staff. And given the fact that this has been a bone of contention, I suggest it would be a good money well spent to try to validate these expenses that we've quantified in the 218.
It's a portion.
Yeah.
All
right. These sections.
Wouldn't this be determined from the lawsuit that was brought on by Turney and Pro? I mean, this is going to come out through their lawsuit.
No.
Well,
no, if I could. There's no way a judge or a forensic accountant is going to step up and make an engineering evaluation on these things. They're not qualified to do it. They wouldn't do it. This might be a document that you might point to either validate or invalidate it. Because at this point, you know, there's some question about the validity of those numbers. So this would be an independent third-party professional that's providing you with either, you know, it could be a validation of it, it could be an invalidation of it, could up it or lower it.
I'd like to ask legal. My understanding is the lawsuit is looking at the validity of the rate study in general. Am I wrong on that then?
Well, no, this is not a new rate study.
I understand.
So the lawsuit claims include that some of the asset replacement values are wrong. For instance, one of the allegations is there's double counting on pipeline lineal feet, that they're double counted. This isn't going to, I mean, it's not going to specifically address that issue. Right, they're independently evaluating all your assets, the lifespan of those assets, and the cost to replace those assets based on their lifespan and when they should be replaced. You're right, the judge isn't going to get into that kind of detail. So what the judge will look is a more broader view. Are the assumptions made in the rate study reasonable? Does that mean this firm is going to make the same assumptions? Maybe, maybe not. If they make the different assumptions that were made in the rate study, does that make those assumptions wrong? Maybe, maybe not. Right? You're just going to get another set of assumptions about your assets and the cost to replace them done by, you know, a group of engineers. So remember that the rate study and a lot of these numbers and assumptions were made by some other engineers in some older studies. You can think of what, I think it was, which was the main one that did the replacement?
Well, Castle did one.
Castle, I think this is.
Stantec did one.
I think this is, I can't remember which was which. I think this is more of a redo of the Stantec report, actually. Which I think was more, right?
Probably.
Yeah. This is like redoing the Stantec study. That's what I equate this to. Mm-hmm. And now there were some additional assumptions made beyond the Stantec by staff here, as well as RCAC. Some of that will come into play, but most of this is a Stantec redo.
Right, I mean, in the lawsuit, you know, they point out that we've listed a tank that we don't own.
Right.
So the judge might have a holy cow about that, but that won't be an engineering issue that they'll be addressing. And
right.
If we've double counted piping from twice, the judge might have a holy cow about that, but the engineering firm's not going to be concerned about counting the same piece of pipe twice. They're going to be looking, what's the cost of replacing that, and what's its useful life, and, you know. So, I mean, this is a subset.
It's a subset. And it's a, and part of the challenge is to, is the actual lifespan.
Right.
Assumptions.
The problem I have with this issue is it seems like we need at least a focused audit, not a, technically a forensic audit by the true definition of the word forensic, but we need a focused audit on the asset list to validate it. Because not only do we know about errors in there, about the pipes being possibly double counted, and the tank we don't own, but some of the dates are wrong too. And I'm not convinced that an engineering firm is going to be able to go through and validate each of those aspects of the list. The other concern that I have is Bennett is not a third-party independent reviewer. If we already have him under contract and we've worked with them in the past and they're under contract and done work for the district. The other issue I have is that this could be, if that's the case, a conflict of interest. And I'm still concerned that we should put this project on hold until that lawsuit is finished. Because if that lawsuit goes through and we've already approved this, then we've spent $62,000 on a contract we didn't need. The other thing I'm concerned about is in the original board discussion on freezing the rates in January, we talked about a forensic audit. And the direction then to the general manager was to go out and scope out the cost of a forensic audit. We did not get that information back in February. In fact, the whole discussion moved towards an engineering firm doing the work. And I still maintain that I'd like to see somebody with more of a CPA type of background validating the asset list and parts of the asset list, and possibly in conjunction with an engineering firm to look at the cost of the assets. The other thing I'm concerned about too is we're getting close to the end of the year. We've still got a discussion in front of us of what we're going to do with the rate freeze and the rate increases that ties into possibly this whole lawsuit. The other thing I'm concerned about looking forward is the way this discussion moved from going from a focus audit to an engineering firm, which is what the general manager wanted, is it looks like he's setting things up so that he's going to secure a firm to do his next rate increase, his next rate hike. That concerns me too. So I'm kind of on the fence about this whole project, and I think that we need to put it on hold until that lawsuit's finished.
Well, if I could, I really think the audit and the engineering activities are independent of each other, myself. I'm not going to challenge whether we need to have an audit and or not, but I think that an engineering study is going to do tasks that are very different than an auditor. Establishing the useful life of an asset and the cost of replacing it, no auditor is going to be able to do that work. And in our conversation, we suggest, I'm a fan and a supporter of the idea that that bit of work needs to be done independent of an audit, independent of the lawsuit. The lawsuit goes either way. We still need to fully understand the values of our assets, what their useful life is, and an estimate of the cost going forward. So I'm a big champion that this work needs to be done and stands alone by itself, independent of the lawsuit and or the need for the audit. As far as whether it's an independent contractor or not, I don't think I understand what your thinking there is. I mean, it's an engineering firm we're hiring to do a bit of work that is not our staff and it was not RCAC. So when I say independent, it's a third party that was not involved in creating the initial list. And my thinking there is they'll be checking our homework as per what these assets are, what their useful life is, and what the cost to replace them are. And so I think that this is work that needs to be done, and it's independent of the lawsuit and or a need for an audit. as far as solving the lawsuit could take years and years. It's highly likely that we're going to initiate a new 218, and the entire lawsuit will be overcome by events by a new 218 that's required every 3 to 5 years, long before the lawsuit can come fruition. So I think you should just set the lawsuit aside. It's something that's going to happen. It should not determine our course of action for managing our assets and planning for the next 218, which we could initiate now.
Okay, Dave, let me ask you a couple questions. The spreadsheet that we all saw that it was part of the PRA request actually shows that if you change the date, it changes the cost of that item across that link of that spreadsheet. Okay, so I'm not confident that an engineering firm is going to go through and check each of those like...
An engineering is not even going to look at that spreadsheet. They're going to look at the assets that we have, determine what their useful life is, and what the cost of replacing them.
Okay.
And they very well may, I'm going to suggest, they shouldn't even look at that. They shouldn't butter their thinking with some list. They should look at the assets we have and independently decide, this is your assets, this is their useful life, this is the cost. And deliver that, that's what I'm talking about, independent.
Okay.
The fact that the spreadsheet doesn't work, or people who are using the spreadsheet don't know how to operate it, that has nothing to do with what this engineering firm, they shouldn't even look at that spreadsheet. Let them independently decide what are our assets, how many pipe tanks, how much pipe, how many pumps, whatever it is. That's what I'm suggesting.
Okay, this whole project was born out of the discussion on the rate freeze. So I can't separate it from the rate freeze.
You have to do this even without a rate freeze, even without a 218. You have to understand your assets and what's it going to take to replace them.
Correct, but then it goes back, now you're correct, but it goes down now down to an issue of timing. When do we do the asset validation? If we do the asset validation before this lawsuit is finished, and obviously before we do another 218, we possibly are doing work that the judge may direct us to do again or all over again if the lawsuit is successful. So it's a timing issue. That's why I'm saying hold off in spending $62,000 now, because if that lawsuit is successful, we're going to have to go do this all over again anyway. We're going to have to validate that asset list and do this 218 all over again. So why spend $62,000 now when we may have to do it over again on the list that was already part of this original 218, that was our asset list, is based on our ongoing inventory of our assets anyway.
Let me suggest to you, regardless to whether how the judge rules, and if he never rules.
Eventually he'll have
but
to.
Forget,
it's on, it's
but
on the
in,
docket
independent
now.
Independent of all those, whether he does or he doesn't or if he ever does, just set that entire thing aside. In order for this district to go forward, we need to know what our assets are, we need to know what their useful life is and plan on their cost of replacing them. And we need to do that, lawsuit or no lawsuit, judge or no judge. And you know, I have some questions about that spreadsheet and the list and how it came. And so this will help resolve my questions about those things. And my suggestion is we need to do that. Period.
I'm just not so sure, and I'm not convinced we need to do it now.
I mean, you need to do it. Not in the next 5 minutes, I would agree with that. But at some point in the future, independent of the lawsuit, we need to do this. That would be my thinking.
Okay. Other comments?
I mean,
I understand, and I think it's just a point that we're going to agree to disagree on, because I don't think I want to spend $62,000 until I know I need to. And right now, I just don't feel we need to.
Yeah, I agree that asset management, as we get into the asset management program, and eventually we're going to need to figure out what all our assets are and the life expectancy and all of that to program into it. And the reason that this issue came up, as Director Garcia said, was because of the rate freeze issue. And the term independent is the other thing. I mean, unfortunately, Bennett was the only engineering firm that applied, and we did try to do it early. We sent out the RFPs in March, and we only got the same firm that's pretty much been working with our district for a long time. They helped us with the CAPI grant and did the last water treatment, the pipeline engineering study for us. So thanks them for it, always being there and doing a lot of the services for us. But that's one of the issues that is probably going to come up is here's a firm that's worked for us. So
how does that make them not independent? I mean, we have experience with them, but that, I'm not clear. I see why that they would not be. I mean, they have their professional integrity as an engineering firm.
If they were currently under contract, so that's one of the issues where we're going to be using them a lot. But if there's anything that you can add to that, that'll be helpful.
My only thought was, we are going to look at your assets. We would lean on your staff to tell us what those assets are. It's not part of our scope to go through and assess every one of your assets because, frankly, we don't know. I mean, I don't know how many pipes you got around. You've got as-built of every pipe that was ever built in the divide, then we could do an assessment, but of what the length of pipe is and these double countings. I mean, you guys have gone through this process before with Stantec, with Castle. This asset list that you have wasn't pulled out of thin air. I mean, it's built based on what your staff knows you own and operate. And that condition assessment, again, we're going to lean on your staff to tell us what pipes are bad. How do you know that Angel Camp needs to be replaced? Well, when you go out and fix it. So we would be harvesting all of those reports and that information from them. Really what we're looking at is what's the cost to replace this equipment? You know, if it was installed in the 50s, well, it's probably well past its service life. And I looked at that spreadsheet and some of those dates are, they're past their that useful life and they've got no value left. And we do have a sub that does kind of the projections of what those costs are going to be in the future. I kind of want to bite my tongue because my job is to get work for my firm, but I somewhat agree that you guys might be jumping the gun a little bit on doing this at this time. You have an asset list. A judge is going to look at my work versus somebody else's work, and they're not going to say one versus the other, as you pointed out. It's an opinion, it's an assumption. If somebody's questioning two pipes in the ground, we just looked at Angel Camp. There's two pipes in the ground. We're double counting. It's because there's probably two pipes in the ground. Sometimes you just put another one in next to one, and now you've got two because you're trying to get more capacity, and they tie into a bigger pipe later. And so it'd be really hard to say, you know, whether this estimate for a certain, asset is right or wrong without going out there and being able to identify it and locate it. And a lot of your pipes don't have locating wires on them, so that's not really an option. So as much as I want to get more work for my firm, I have to agree that you guys are probably jumping the gun on doing a whole new asset management list off of something that you already have. We could definitely look at your spreadsheet and clean it up and make sure that's working right and adjust dates, but you already have a list there and it's pretty comprehensive. And you have multiple systems, so you've got water, sewer, and canal water, so there may be a few of those things that overlap. You take a canal into your water treatment plant, where is it part of the water treatment plant, or is it part of the raw water system? Is that double counting? I don't know, you're kind of covering your bases, so that's what I have to offer. Again, I'm more than happy to do the work. I don't want you guys spending money you don't need to either. And I also don't want you to muddle up your court case by throwing another engineer hat in there, mine. we'll gladly defend the work we do, just like RCAC will, just like Stantec and Castle. I mean, that's what we do. Right? We make our assumptions and we stand by them.
Yep. Thank you for your frankness. Yep, that's one of the things.
That's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
of the things I go through when I was practicing. You can take two MDs. One's going to recommend surgery because it's a monetary value, and the other's going to say you don't really need to do this, and this is the options you have. So that was helpful to get.
I appreciate your frankness.
Yeah, we certainly do, because you made me think of the time when, Barbara, you made the comment too, that by having something replicated, not truly in the sense, but the same effort to produce, may appear in the judge's eyes as to why are we trying to correct something. And I don't want that to have any impact on the case.
Yeah, that boat's already sailed. This issue has already been put front and center on by the opposing counsel, just as I advised would be done.
Okay.
So we're already in that battle.
Okay. One more question for Steve. Steve, how far are we out with Tyler Technologies and maybe having some of the assets be put into the Tyler Technology software and maybe getting some of our own in-house information out about asset management and asset costs?
Well, I mean, Tyler's not necessarily going to give you an asset management program per se. I mean, this is accounting software. They're going to try and track the values in there for us like we would for an audit. But
yeah.
That's different purpose than an asset management program that would put together a plan, as Dirk Saunders has talked about, put together a plan for when you're going to replace something and help you project about when you're going to replace things. That is strictly, the Tyler side of things is strictly an accounting exercise.
But putting the information
so to
in
get it
the
in there, yeah,
you have to go
I don't have it. We don't have a schedule with that level of detail yet.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay. And the asset management, if we end up going that route eventually, is that a module that we will purchase from Tyler, or is that, again, independent?
I would advocate for something independent. I believe they have a module. I haven't evaluated that. I mean, the module piece would be more of the software side of taking the data that you have and then using it to project. And
okay.
So you still need to generate that data,
okay.
And that for that would be a separate
Then we as a board already approve asset management program, exactly, it's individual one?
I believe it is in the budget,
mm-hmm.
And it is on my general manager report that something is a future item. Once I have the contract project manager on board, it'll have some capacity to shift my focus onto that,
okay.
And I can get rid of the projects
that I'm
managing.
Yeah, I'm still a proponent for holding off on this, because I think it's a timing issue. We just hold off and we'll secure this when we need it.
Okay, I'm going to go to public comment. Sheree?
The main reason why we were upset about that asset list was because of the date. And I actually, during a PRA, changed Stumpy and it changed the dollar amount over here by going 20 years older. It changes the value of the asset. So it basically, it's an audit on that asset date. And maybe just the items on it. It's not like getting a whole engineering report. It's just verifying those dates. Because most of the pipes, I think, went in within a 15-year period. And they just slammed one date for all the pipes, majority of them. Just my recollection. I haven't looked at it in a while. So anyway, I think you shouldn't approve this.
Okay. Any additional public comments on this? Seeing none? Okay. Bring it back to the board.
I'm going to make a motion that we just hold off on this and do not approve this as it's written today.
Second.
Okay. Oh. Lost our.
Lost Stephanie.
Yeah,
I'm doing it.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait, who was second?
I was.
Susan.
Susan. Take two.
Okay. Roll call.
Yes, please.
Garcia.
Aye.
Souza.
Aye.
Saunders.
Aye.
Halvin.
Aye.
Wadley.
Aye. I mean, Bennett convinced me.
I get to go explain that to him. So I'm
the convinced,
but I'd
be our little secret.
God bless you for being honest.
Once in my life, you know, I get to be wrong.
Yeah. Well, we like working for you, with you guys, and we'll continue.
Sure.
Right. Working with
no,
you,
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Last item was is item 7G, provide direction on name of New Auburn Lake Trails Water Treatment Plant. Staff report, all right, are you going to be to maybe
I'll tee it up first. I won't get too specific. I mean, just on various occasions, you can see in the written report, various occasions in the past, the board and individual directors have brought up both to me in private or in public sessions about the name of the ALT water treatment plant and whether or not we should change the name because we built a new plant now. In the past, the answer has been, hey, not yet. Well, now is the time. If you guys want to do it, now is the time to talk about it. The state is requiring a whole new permit for the plant. We finally submitted our intent for that permit, our application for a permit. That's in review. So now everything's in flux for the next year as we go through the permit application process. So if the board wants to entertain changing the name of the plant, this would be the chance to do it without having to trigger a permit amendment or something at some point in the future. So, and the staff report outlines some guidelines that agencies typically follow in naming facilities. It's by no means comprehensive, but I think it's pretty good. There are no mandatory guidelines you have to follow in this regard. Kind of name it just about anything you'd like. So at this point, we're just looking for some direction on how you want to proceed. And I think this most recently, President Wadley brought this up to me is, hey, do you remember we talked about this? Can we do this now? So if you wanted to add anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've certainly made some of those same things too. I mean, Auburn Lake Trails Treatment Plant, it's kind of a misnomer to me. It doesn't just serve Auburn Lake Trails, it serves Half the Divide, serves, well, four of us directors up here, two of them are not in ALT, and it seemed to me it was appropriate to at least have a discussion about it again, understanding that this is, if we're going to do it, this is the time to do it, on changing the name of the plant to something else. I mean, I know there's, individuals potentially that have been very involved in this project or past or present that I, think that could be considered or, everything from treatment plant number two or,
the La Nusa Memorial Plant.
I don't support that. Yeah.
Perfect.
But,
I would draw that. Creek Saunders Plant? I mean,
I think he has to be dead.
Oh,
yeah. Well, we might be able to raise that too.
I'll throw one out there, Sweetwater.
Yeah, the Sweetwater Treatment Plant, I like that. It's what it's on.
I'm just knocking out of the ballpark today.
Well, that was one of the things even before I was on the board as a finance committee member, is a lot of people are like, why are we paying for this plant? We're in Georgetown. It's like, what are we doing? It's ALT. Why are we paying for this treatment plant? So that's the same thing with the misnomer of the name, where they have to understand that Walton is the upper half and whatever we call this one is the lower half, and that's the entire district is served by these two treatment plants.
Yeah, and it's better than the acronym HTD, which is Half the Divide. I think Sweetwater is appropriate. Date.
Good. So I get a free dinner at the Divide restaurant.
Give me a coupon.
Yep.
A coupon. Yeah, I'll go with Sweetwater.
I know.
I'm here.
So, okay. Any other board comments before we open up public comment? Okay, I'm gonna change up. Karen, you go first this time.
I
you had a question.
Okay.
I thought you were waving at me. All right, okay. Carolyn, you go first in the back.
On Sweetwater Trail, right? Do we have to call it Sweetwater Water Treatment Plant?
Yeah.
Can we take one of the waters out of it?
Yeah.
That's okay, that identifies what it is.
Yeah, Sweetwater Treatment Plant.
Yeah, it's
my
favorite.
Call it whatever. We could call it the Cookie Monster Plant.
Carolyn, number two, or number one, right?
Since the water comes from Stumpy Meadows, what about Stumpy Meadows Water Treatment Plant?
Because we have a treatment plant in between.
There's Walton.
Yeah, there's Walton, yeah.
Okay. Well, the only thing with Sweetwater still is ALT.
Yeah.
And I think Greenwood, because it's a location.
Geographically, it's not in Greenwood. We can't call it Coolwood.
Sweetwater is.
How about doing
more
a naming
generic
contest with the customers?
Yeah.
It might.
Let's just go.
How about we just get it done?
Yeah, let's just get
Sweetwater
it done.
Treatment plant.
I'm like a sewer water treatment plant. It's generic, it doesn't... It's a whole lot better than my other suggestion.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. I think it encompasses much more of what it actually is, that's the location of it. So,
okay. We can pursue that with the board as we go through. We'll call it sweet water treatment. I think we have to call it water treatment plant. So it'll just be sweet water treatment.
I like that.
I like that. Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Sweet. Change Walton to bitter.
Well done. Yes. I don't know that we need formal action at this point in time on it.
Okay. What can we do, Barbara?
Just take that and move forward.
Yeah, just run with it.
Yeah. Okay. Item number 8, board member requests for addition to future meeting agendas, requests, information, research, etc. I'll start with, on the left, Director Souza.
I have none.
Director Saunders?
Of course I have.
Okay.
We can pass this over to Steve.
Steve?
One, I got one for Bane, one for Steve.
One for Steve.
So basically, also for comments, just to make sure I saw in the smart water grant, we sent stuff to our legislators, Board of Supervisors, and Senator. I hope we sent something to someone in Bigelow, so if not, just add him into the loop there.
I text Trish.
And so he got him for the... So grant writer, so this is one of the things we've discussed. I mean, we've got a lot of grants, things that we can try and save staff with, looking at things like FEMA for generators and a whole bunch of other stuff, even if we could find one for the water meter project and things like that. And one of the ability is we don't want to do it on our own, and we have 3 small water districts in our county as well, so a grant writer that can be shared between the 3 of us, so South Lake Tahoe and Grizzly Flats, so that's one thing we can, consider.
EIB, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, EIB is a big, district that can fund it, but this way we all 3 small districts with about the same kind of customer base and really can't go out and get something like that by ourselves, so that's something we can consider. As I mentioned before, legal, and I'll also add the vehicles, looking at certain budget items as they come up. We have October, November, December, so 3 months left for our sexual harassment prevention policy. I see you have it on the next one, and I've seen you guys. You've been working on stuff going through it, and hopefully we can get it before November if we can see it. And once again, I always put on the disaster and emergency preparedness subcommittee. It's better to have it before something happens than afterwards, and it's, even if not a subcommittee, something we could decide on, at least going over stuff. And the drought plan, that's going to be coming into effect, and I'll get more of that information at the next workshop that I'm going to, but the guidelines are going to come into place, so this is something, if we can review the drought plan to make sure that whatever plan we have into place is going to be what our district follows, as opposed to state recommendations, because that's one of the things they said, if our plan meets their guidelines, then we're in control of what we do during drought contingencies rather than following the states.
And Mike, are you referring to our fiscal year 2021 drought plan? Or the
It's an overall drought plan that we have, but it's just to make sure that it's going to fit in with the new guidelines that they've added in. I'm pretty sure it already meets that, but just to make sure we follow the number of steps that they want. And this way, if the states that everybody has to do 30% reduction and Stumpy's at 18,000 acre feet, that we can follow whatever plans we have for that acre foot level.
Okay.
And the comments that I wanted to add last time, and there's more people here, is that as directors, we serve the entire district, we serve everybody, so there are customers that come to me and say that the rates are fine and we can cover all our infrastructure process, and there's also customers that come up with the exact same bill and say, I can't afford this and we're going to have to move in a couple of years. So there's a range and we pretty much have to represent everybody, so just let everybody know we represent all of you and we work our best to do what we can to cover everybody equitably. And as Dane knows, on CSDA and Cindy, who also went to the same workshop as me, a healthy board doesn't always agree on everything. So having all of these disagreements and being able to bring a lot of items to the forefront is healthy. What would be unhealthy if we never voted on anything, if every agenda item got pushed back to the next month, so at least we are getting the business of the district done, even though we're not getting everything we want on it, we're getting the work done, and at the end of the day, we're not actually at each other's throats, we're not fighting, we're not throwing shoes at each other, at least not yet. So, I mean, so that's all I wanted to add.
Okay, thank you. Richard Halpin?
I'm good.
Richard Garcia?
Just a couple here.
Okay.
Pass these down, there's a few points through here, we'll go two this way. This is just a list of the items that I'd like to add onto the October agenda, and again, I think we need to be talking about the emergency preparedness and response plans and the integration thereof, you know, community-wide with our other responders, and I'd like to talk about our emergency notification system, especially in light of what we just went through, all of us went through. Some of us got reverse 911 calls in the evacuation area, some did not, some got calls from neighbors, some did not, some jumped already in their truck and immediately went out to help, like Dave Souza did, which is awesome, but it would have been great if we would have had an emergency notification system that was going on. And there's some of these that are available. We use one at the Sheriff's Department called Nixle, and a lot of first responder agencies are using it, so there's a lot of buy-in on it. It's been proven tested. It's an opt-in system where customers can opt in. So if anybody doesn't get notified, it's because they didn't opt in. So there's a lot of options out there. I think it's important that we start discussing some of these. I'd like to also ask Steve just one quick question. If this, what is the status of the ALT wastewater zone, the newly revised permit that is being worked on and updated? What's the status of that right now?
We're not updating that permit.
I thought you were contacted by Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board about updating.
Yeah, we reached out to them to find out if we wanted to add new technologies to the wastewater treatment, the list that's in the permit now, if we needed to do anything. And I think they erroneously responded, you need a new permit. So we clarified with them, no, we're not requesting a new permit. We just want to know if we want to add these technologies to the permit and make sure and approve these type of technologies, what do we need to do? And I think the feedback we got was, oh, well, in that case, you just need to do this report, that analyzes those things. So that's where Adam is working on now is, okay, well, we need to do a report like this to prove that, basically prove those technologies meet or exceed the ones that are in the permit. What is that going to take? Do we need to hire somebody? You know, how much is that going to cost? We're kind of scoping out what that would be, but we're trying to do that without requiring a new permit. We believe that the permit gives enough flexibility to do that, and so we're working on that path.
Okay. I imagine, Steve, when you turn in that report, they're going to issue you a new permit, because when their permits are more than 20 years old, they review them.
They may force us to because of the age, but we're not requesting that.
No, I think what they'll do is they'll take your report and issue your, based on that report, they'll issue possibly a new permit, so they can check their box that says, we updated your 40-year-old permit.
Yeah. I
can comment on that. They will issue a letter requesting a report of waste discharge, which then is a pretty lengthy process to put together water balances and load balances and all that. Then they review that for 240 days before then they issue a new permit. So your system is really small. I did the evaluation on it a few years ago, and it's at the bottom of their list, I can promise you, as far as reissuing.
Yeah.
We've got plenty of them that were done in, you know, 96, 90, and if they're small systems, they don't really care.
I agree. So. I think because it's 40 years old, they haven't looked at it as a testament to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Just another quick comment to the board members. I think it's important that we maybe consider direction to the Finance Committee to review and make recommendations on some of the topics Director Saunders brought up as the liaison to the meeting. So there's things that he suggested that we might want to have the Finance Committee look at, being, for example, vehicle maintenance or legal fees. Is there any initiative for the directors here to take it upon themselves to ask our finance committee, since it is a board committee, to work on any of these efforts coming forward?
Nothing on my part, no.
No, I'm not either.
Okay.
One thing that comes up when we have the next quarterly review is to look at those percentages, and anything that pops out, we can try and focus in on.
Okay. And then just to make a comment again, the rate freeze is coming up, and we said it was temporary, not more than 12 months. So I'd like to see it on the board agenda for an upcoming meeting before it gets to December, so we can figure out what we're going to do with it. You know, and if I think it's something we need to talk about. Are we going to extend it? Are we going to lift it? Are we going to raise feet? What are we going to do? I think we need to talk about that coming up pretty soon. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. I don't have anything for this meeting. So with that, we will adjourn the regular meeting in the Georgetown 5 Public Utility District at whatever time it is. I think that is a little off, isn't it?
Yeah.
4:59. Thank you. Until our next meeting on October 8th at 2 p.m. right here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.